Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you're glad, if you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And that's on your part, not necessarily on my part. As we all know, right? Let me tell you about our guest this half hour. David Rock is back with us. David is a leadership expert. He is the CEO of Results Coaching Systems, which is a global consulting firm helping companies like yours and mine put our best foot forward in the marketplace. He's the author of a number of books, including the one I'm holding in my hand, which I think is his new one, Your Brain at Work. And he's our friend, David Rock. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. Good to be back with you.
It's good to have you back, as always. David, one of the things that that's going on right now in the marketplace and in politics and in on Wall Street and all the different sectors of society, we're all trying to figure out, you know, where's the egg that's going to become the chicken that's going to turn the economy around, that's going to get things going again. And so the government has been throwing all this money, and I'm just talking pretty, you know, just in the American terms, but you could write this for other countries as well. Yep. Our government is throwing money we don't even have at this thing, trying to solve the economy, trying to get it going again, get people to hire more, get people to buy more, et cetera, et cetera. And they're trying to pass, you know, they're going through all these gyrations. The unnatural acts, David, that they're doing to try to get the economy going are almost embarrassing, and yet nothing seems to be happening. And I think, and I've said this a while back, and I said this with great respect and with great reverence and with great sincerity to President Obama. I said, President Obama, the problem is not the real estate market. The problem is the real estate between our ears. And until you can get us more optimistic, until you can be the kind of leader that makes us believe in you and be optimistic and not be afraid of what's coming down the path at us, until that happens, the economic recovery either won't happen or it'll be very, very slow. What do you think, David?
Yeah, well, you know, the word optimistic is not a bad word to talk about from a brain perspective, because there is something about the brain that's a little bit scary. It works in spirals, and we tend to work in these long-term spirals in the brain that are basically either down, kind of spiraling down, or at some point we hit rock bottom, we start spiraling upwards. And that spiral is one that's it's quite based on neurochemistry. It involves the levels of certain neurotransmitters, especially dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter involved in feeling things are getting better and kind of having hope and having, you know, positive expectations. And what happens is it's very easy to get in this downward spiral where, you know, everything that comes along kind of is treated as a negative when we're in that downward spiral.
Right.
Whereas when we're in an upward spiral, everything that comes along looks like an opportunity.
Well, if you think about it, if you've got something that's on the water and it's sinking, and you add more weight to it, it's going to sink much faster. But if you've got something going up and you just take weight off of it, it's not going to go up that much faster, is it?
Well, that's one of the funny things.
Gravity is a funny thing about it's funny about gravity, isn't it?
Well, the way the brain works is actually bad is stronger than good. It's significantly stronger. When yeah. I mean stronger, I mean, like, the negative gets your attention much stronger, which
right.
is why, you know, the newspapers sell a lot when there's something scary.
That's right.
And the negative stays with you longer. It really activates your brain longer, and, you know, you pay more attention to it. And so it's a funny thing of this downward spiral that happens, and when you're in that downward spiral, it can be really, really hard to get out of it. And, you know, I've been in 5 countries in the last 8 days, and,
wow.
You know, you see this thing happening just about everywhere. Not, you know, some countries it's not. I was in India last week, and there's, you know, their recession was going from 9% growth to 7% growth, and then they
poor babies.
Poor babies, and they bounce back up. But I tell you, you'd still rather live in New York than Mumbai, though, I tell you,
on
any day.
Yeah.
But it's happening pretty much everywhere, and it's one of the challenges, Jim, is that one of the things that's really debilitating for the brain, and when I say debilitating, I mean it causes a real sensation of pain and distraction. One of the things that's really debilitating is uncertainty.
Hold on to that thought, David. I'm going to take folks, uncertainty, that's the word. And if you read my column this weekend, you will see that I use that word. I sent it out yesterday. I used that word. That was a major part of the article I wrote yesterday. It'll be in the newsletter also, by the way, this weekend. David's right about the uncertainty word. I'm going to let him talk about that after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us. Little Joe Cocker bringing us back, that Mad Dog Englishman. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I love that guy. I'm Jim Blasingame. Glad to be with you. We're spinning some platters, rocking and rolling here on the Small Business Advocate Show. That's my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. David Rock is our guest, and you're a pretty hard rocker too, aren't you, David? I mean, you got the name and everything.
You know, I like to rock around the world as much as I can.
What about Joe Cocker? What do you think? I mean, isn't he? You like
He's
Joe?
He's great. I mean, you just you got to love his passion and enthusiasm for life. You know,
that's right. And David is the author of Your Brain at Work, folks. David, tell us where we can find your book.
You know, it's on Amazon. It's been doing really well. Amazon, it's in all the big bookstores. It's in Barnes & Noble and Borders and all the stores everywhere across the U.S. And,
right.
Coming out in Chinese and Korean and all sorts of languages.
All right. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have you seen your book printed in other languages yet?
I have. It's quite strange.
It's weird looking at you, isn't it?
in Korean, it's quite an odd thing.
But your picture pretty much looks the same, though, right?
In every language, pretty much.
Hey, David, when we went to the break, we're talking about, folks, David's helping us understand the impact of the brain on economic recovery. And, David, I'm proposing that that's everything, that how we think about our condition, how we feel about the future, what our hopes are, you'll talk about the whole, you know, the whole physiological part of this and the psychological part of it, but as long as there's uncertainty, and you used that word as we went to the break, as long as there's uncertainty, that's not positive and that's not conducive to economic recovery, to buying more things, to hiring more people, is it?
Yeah, well, one of the unexpected findings in the last 10 years about the brain is there are several things that the brain treats as pain that you wouldn't really think of as pain, but the brain treats these things as if they were physical pain, like a threat to your life. And one of them is simple uncertainty.
Are you saying to the brain uncertainty, that emotional trigger, is tantamount to pain?
Well, it treats it the same way as it would treat pain. So it treats it as if it's a physical pain. And
it reacts as it does with as it would any kind of pain.
Yeah, and the opposite is true as well, Jim, which is interesting, which is that a feeling of greater certainty, like when you just get a bit of information, that actually activates the reward circuits of the brain in a similar way to like sex, money, or food. And that's, by the way, that's part of the success of something like Google and just kind of web trawling. Every time you get a little bit more information about something, unless you get to overwhelm, but as you get a little bit more information, you get this little burst of reward in the brain.
Yeah.
So we always steer towards things we understand, and we always steer away from things we don't understand, because literally one is pain and one is pleasure, and that's what drives behavior.
Right. So when the brain reacts, though, what does it do? What does it physically do when it feels uncertain?
Well, there's an organizing principle of the brain, right? And this is how the whole brain is organized. This is from a meta-study of thousands of brain studies. And that is the brain is built to minimize danger and maximize reward. And your behaviors are driven automatically, subconsciously, to minimize danger, maximize reward. So, you know, you're walking along the bookstore and you see a book cover and it looks just a little bit sort of uncertain or a bit dangerous subconsciously. You don't like it. You know, you just steer away. And then you see something that that you sort of is attractive to your eye, something interesting, you steer towards it. And so you literally, your physical biology, as well as your mental biology, so your physical actions, physical movements, as well as where your thoughts go, are actually driven by whether something is a danger
See,
or...
See, that's the reason why I'm on radio and not television, David. It's the same thing. So is there some kind of an enzyme or some kind of something that it releases, some kind of a protein that it releases? What is it?
Well, it's a little more complex than that, but what happens when the threat response kicks in is you definitely activate the limbic system, which is the deeper, more reptilian part of the brain. You activate this system, and it sends out messages that says, you know, things are dangerous, be careful, don't take risks, and don't think too much, you know, just kind of retreat. And you actually mm-hmm. can see people literally pulling back when
they try to get to an uncomplicated place, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. And you literally can see this. So you activate a tiny threat response to someone, you can see their body recoil. And so how this plays out in the brain is less resources for decision making. So it reduces the amount of resources when you experience a threat from uncertainty. Reduces the resources for being able to make decisions. You know, if I said to you, what's, you know, 56 and 79, you would do it, you know, you would do that math much slower if you mm-hmm. just had a little bit of a threat.
And also, it sounds to me like that's going to restrict creativity, and those are the kinds of things that make people get excited about the possibility of something.
It reduces creativity. It also reduces linear problem solving. So it reduces kind of that aha
right.
phenomena, those ideas,
yeah.
and insight problem solving, and risk taking. It reduces your desire to take risks.
And the Main Street term for what David just said is hunker down.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and it's uncertainty can do it. Now, you know, whether without getting too political, whether whatever any president would have done, you know, coming
right.
in, whoever it was, and whether they did a fabulous job or a terrible job, you know, the president who came in was facing, you know, one of the worst times in 100 years.
Who would want the job?
It's, you know, black guy got the worst job in America, in
right.
a sense, was a headline in The Onion, you know, when it happened.
Right.
It's not my headline, it was theirs. But
right.
It was a very, very tough situation, and part of the job that's really important, I think, for any president is reducing the uncertainty as much
right.
as possible.
Exactly. And when we come back, I'm going to get you to help us build that story a little bit. David Rock is our guest. The book is called Your Brain at Work, available wherever fine books are sold. In a couple of places, maybe where they're not so fine. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. David Rock is our guest. He's the author of Your Brain at Work. He's a brain expert. He's a leadership expert, too. And he puts those two together and helps companies like yours and mine create better performance, higher performance out of our folks. And hopefully, David, happier campers, right?
Absolutely.
So now, remind us of the website where we can find you.
You know, you can find me at davidrock.net.
Okay.
It's pretty easy to, as it sounds, davidrocks.net, and also resultscoaches.com.
All right.
And I'm also head of an institute called the Neuro Leadership Institute, which is neuroleadership.org.
All right. And, so check that out. And the book is called Your Brain at Work. And David, we've been talking about uncertainty as one of the big impediments to real economic growth, but there are other things, aren't there?
Yeah.
The brain is concerned about.
Absolutely. You know, as the technology develops, you discover sorts, you know, all sorts of things that are not the way you expected. You know, we thought the world was flat until certain technology, like high towers, you know, developed.
Yeah.
well, it's the same with the brain, and you know, it's pretty surprising to see that certainty is an actual pain for the brain. You know, uncertainty is persistent pain. There are other things that the brain classifies as a danger and steers away from them, and one of them is this whole issue around fairness. And there's been a series of studies which show that when you're in some kind of exchange between parties, in some kind of economic or any kind of exchange, and one party is unfair to the other,
right,
the person experiencing unfairness gets a very, very strong threat response.
You mean like Main Street, how Main Street feels about Wall Street?
Yeah, kind of like that.
How about exactly like that?
Exactly like that. You know, unfairness really activates people. Now, if you watch the news, Jim, you'll see, you know, people literally, you know, willing to die to right political wrongs at times. And,
right.
And, you know, and lots of law is all based on, you know, all of law is based on this idea of fairness and justice,
right,
and equity. So it's there in society. What we didn't know was it's a significant threat in the brain, and it literally does send people into a spin. And the opposite also is true. When you experience,
I can identify with that, because I mean, if you think about little kids, long before they have the ability to develop very many, you know, highly developed emotions, they have a keen sense of whether something's fair or not.
Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely. You know, you'll see a 1 year old absolutely reacting to unfairness.
Yeah, and as you say, it can really spin them downward, can it?
Well, that's the spiral I mentioned earlier, that we're either spiraling down or spiraling up. And when we're spiraling down, it's easier to spiral down further. We classify things that might be positive, now we classify them as negative. And the same with upwards. If we're spiraling upwards, like when the economy was doing great, then we look at things that, you know, maybe are threatening, and we look at them in a positive light. And so you've got to kind of shift that spiral. And it may take some time, but understanding the brain a little more can help. And fairness is one issue. Certainty is an issue. There are a couple more. One of them is status. And status is a big, big one. It's probably the biggest one. Status is this feeling of, you know, where you are relative to others. And the U.S. is suffering a little bit in that area because, you know, we're sensing in the States here, and I consider myself a part-time American. I've been living here part-time for about 8 years. So,
right.
You know, I feel what's happening. I watch the news here even when I'm not here. And it's a challenge.
So are you saying our national ego is being bruised a little bit?
A little bit, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got the Chinese mafia, you know, holding all our money, and
right.
No, I didn't mean to call them mafia. Sorry, Mr. Chinese, but we got the, you know, Chinese owning our money, and you know, there's all these reasons to sort of feel like we're slipping. And even if we stay where we are, what's happening is other countries are going up, you know, really, really fast. China just overtook Germany as the leading exporter just suddenly in the last few months.
Yeah.
So there's this feeling of slipping status happening, you know, as a country, but it also happens individually. So this, you know, that's another issue that we've got to
address. You know what? If we had Jimmy Carter in charge right now,
yes.
he would call the three things you've been describing this half hour? Malaise.
I'm not sure I want to ask. Yeah.
Malaise.
Malaise.
He used that word back in 78 or 9.
Yeah, remember,
have you heard of the malaise speech?
Yeah, there is.
What you're describing is a form, and I'm not saying we're in full-blown malaise, but I do think that we've got some of all of these things David's talking about, and I think that's a variation or some level of malaise. And you know, I'll tell you, David, I think we're going to have to get ourselves out of this. I don't think we can look around and wait on the government to get us out. We got to get ourselves out. What do you think?
Well, the way you shift from that downward spiral to that upward spiral is you have to start moving towards something. You have to create a vision that does actually kind of lift you out of the doldrums and calls to you. And you literally got to shift from what's called an away state where you're, you know, avoiding into a towards state.
And
where
from
you're
away to, a, to towards. David, that's a great thought to stop on. But let's get you back again real soon and talk about this some more. We've learned a lot today. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much, Jim. Great
David Rock, ladies and gentlemen, what a great interview that was with him. We appreciate that very much. Quick break. I'll be back after the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.